wealth untold. Count your many blessings angels will attend. Heaven will come on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, name them. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done. On the last. So among the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till the journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Tonight, senior campers will be giving their testimonies about camp, and we will be having an award presentation for the senior campers and the senior camp video presentation. Wednesday, June 10th, Bible preaching and prayer at 7, no patch. Saturday, June 13th, bus visitation, churchwide operation, saturation, and soul winning at 10. June 15th, Senior Saints will be meeting at noon. They'll be going to Golden Corral for that lunch. Wednesday, June 17th, all permissions, slips, and the money need to be turned in for the junior campers that night. And Sunday, June 21st is Father's Day, and it's also the same day the junior campers will be going to camp after lunch. June 26th, Nathan and Katie's wedding in Florida. And Sunday, July 5th, the U.S. celebration with grilling, chilling, and games and fireworks at Pastor's House at 5 till dark. And then Sunday, July 12th, the U.S. 250th celebration with veterans, Pastor Don Chitty. I can't say it. Pastor Don. And we're glad all the senior campers made it back. And if you remember the people on the back, thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to our adult Sunday school class. And this morning we're going to be in the book of Luke again. We're discussing the Beatitudes here that's found here in the book of Luke, Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, and kind of the synoptic view of these Beatitudes. And I got my notes right here. So there. I had kind of a strange morning. I got up fairly early, checked my notes, was going over notes and different things like that, and thought, oh, it's still pretty early. I'm going to lay back down, sit back down. I sat down in the chair and fell asleep. And my wife wakes me up at 9 o'clock. And I usually pick up Brad about 9:30 and over here to church. So it's been a quick run. Now, my wife helped me. She said, you got your hearing aids? Oh, yeah, I got my hearing aids. You got your teeth in? Yeah, my teeth are in, I think. And every once in a while, I kind of move. But she never asked me about my glasses. And my glasses I got on are my old glasses. And a matter of fact, they're so yellow, I can't believe I even put them on. But they were, I usually have them sitting by my Bible in case I walk out of the bedroom and forget my glasses. I have a pair of glasses somewhere, you know. So anyway, so I put them on, and now I find out I may have to have my Bible up here to see what I'm doing, or maybe out here. I'm not sure. Oh, that's a little better. So we'll figure out the right location of putting my Bible and my notes here today. So, but anyway, it's been a good week at our house. My wife's feeling a little better. She's having some real problems with her arms. Her shoulders are hurting, and she can't hardly reach out with her right arm there. So we ask that you pray for her. Then also last week I went and visited Russell when he was in the hospital. Well, this week I got to go back, actually almost parked in the same place, and went back to the hospital to visit Dr. Lindholm, and had a real good visit with him. We talked for probably an hour or more, and but do pray for him. He is in there to have a heart catheterization. I think they have, said that he's got about a 70% blockage. So it's important that we pray and remember him. And, being a doctor is not an easy life. He is on the go continually. Ever since I've met him, I mean, he's been on the go. He's somewhere doing something. And so I do pray for him. I think what he was really telling me, his job is very stressful. And, you know, then he's got kids growing up and getting married and all kinds of things going on in life. But anyway, so do pray for Dr. Lindholm. And it's good to see Glenda's here. I heard on Wednesday she was in the hospital, but she's up and around. I think I called Thursday, and I couldn't find a location for you in the hospital. So would you get out Thursday? You did, okay. Now you must have been on your way out when we called. But anyway, so good to see her back and going. So it's kind of one of those things. Let's see, over the Memorial weekend, my wife was in the hospital. And so people have just been kind of going in and out lately. So let's pray and hope that everybody stays on the outside of the hospital, unless you really need, if you need to, well, then I guess it's all right. We'll give you permission to go. But anyway, please do. But anyway, this morning we are here in the sixth chapter of the book of Luke, and we've been studying this. And we looked in chapter 6, and there's a lot of things here going on. The apostle or Luke here, as he's writing this, he gives us the list of the apostles. That's what I was trying to think of, the list. And, of course, that list is found in the Synoptic Gospels. All three here, they're found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew's Gospels, they're in chapter 10 and verse 2 through 4. Mark's Gospel, they're in Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 19. If you want to write that down for references. And then they're found right here in the book of Luke in chapter 6. And it says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night prayer to God. You read in the Bible that the Lord prayed all night. I was glad he could do that. I mean, prayer is needful. Of course, he was going to his Father and getting, I believe, the instructions that God wanted for him and all these things. And this was a very important time. One of the things he does tell us when we do go pray, that we're coming for, take our needs to him. And I believe that take them to God. And he tells us here that he prayed all night, and he had a big decision to make. When a lot of us have decisions, sometimes the decisions that are very important in our life, we need to bathe them in prayer. pray. And I think that this was this very important decision that the Lord was going to make. He says in verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, of whom he named apostles. And then we looked through this list before, and we've seen and always see that Peter is the first one, usually Simon, who that was his, and he called him Peter. And so then Andrew, his brother, James and Philip, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, Simeon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. That's a different Judas, and I think we looked last week or so and find out he goes by another name a lot of the times. And then Judas Iscariot, always last. He's always the last one mentioned. And then verse 17, it says, in the multitudes, the multitudes will be healed. I read the whole thing in my Bible. Anyway, and he came down with them and stood at the plains and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And so here Luke, I believe the physician, he looks at these things. People were coming from all around to hear the Lord. Right. And they were healed, and also of the diseases that they had. And there were some of them not only had diseases, but many of them were vexed with unclean spirits. Right. He didn't talk a whole lot about unclean spirits, but I believe that they're around even today. And there's a lot of times people physically can be good, physically be all right, but have these unclean spirits. Now, unclean spirits is interesting in that they come through not through through sin in person's life, and they come in different ways. And of course, some of these unclean spirits here he was talking about were demon possessions, where people were literally taken over by the devil and by demons. And it's one of the things we need to realize today, that still happens today. People can get their minds confused, and I think a lot of times we need to realize a lot of these things happen in our mind. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, I think it, I know it is, it's there in a minute, I'll get there. Romans chapter 12 talks, it doesn't really talk about unclean spirits here, but I believe this is exactly what the Lord is telling us, how to keep from having unclean spirits, allowing your mind to be interrupted. It says here in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. And one of the things, and we can read in Ephesians 2, the world plays a big part in our lives. And we need to control the things of the world that we allow to come into our lives. Because through these things, I believe those unclean spirits come in. Unclean spirits of wrong thoughts, idolatry, all different sins, they all come through our minds. And the Bible says here in verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that so you mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so when we have the Lord on our mind, we should have a hard time of getting demons within us, and that causes us to do those things that are wrong. But anyway, these unclean spirits were there, he says in verse 18, and they were vexed. That means that they were controlled. It talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and since I think of the guy's name, I could go back to Genesis and read the whole book and find it. But when they were Lot. It just popped in that I had a lot. Anyway, Lot, when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah and the things that happened, it said that it vexed his mind. That means it controlled his mind. All these things were confessed. But because he had been, God had, I think that's in the book of Jude, that his mind was vexed. Let me turn back there real quick. We're kind of doing a little Bible study on our side here. But anyway, it talks about Lot and his situation here. In Jude verse 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in a like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after a strange flesh, are set forth for the example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It does talk about Lot here a minute. I know I've seen it. It's about even Lot was vexed. Anybody find that verse? It's in Jude. I know it's in here. Vexed. It says it vexed his soul because of the situation he was in. But it talks about the unclean spirits here in verse 18 of chapter 6. And Luke talks about that. And it says, and they were healed. They were healed. And it says in verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue of him and healed them all. So in Luke's gospel, he doesn't take time as Matthew does and Mark talk about individual people who got healed. He talks about all of them. He looked at the multitude and saw a multitude of them were healed. And now here in what we're looking at this morning, here in verse 20, it says, and he lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast you out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. And so in these first few blessings here, matter of fact, we mentioned it last week, in this particular portion of Scripture, he has he talks about these four, the message of to his disciples here. He said, blessed be the poor in verse 20. And then he says, blessed be ye that are hunger, and blessed and blessed are ye that weep. And then it goes on. The fourth one is a little different from the first two, or first three here. The first three we find here are not virtues, but are conditions a person's in. As it said, he said, blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. And then blessed are ye that hunger now. That's a condition. They're hungering. And then the next one says, blessed are the weep now, for ye shall laugh. And three conditions here that the people are in, and he's telling them about they're blessed. Now he's talking to his disciples. Now he's talking to those that have kind of put their faith and trust in him, and they're following him. And these things, the same thing that happens to people that are lost, have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Let's see, I do have it written down here somewhere. It says the man that weeps because he is caught in his sin and continues the sin cannot expect blessings from that. So people weep for all different situations. Just because a person's weep or their heart is broken over something. I remember an example of one of my kids one time when they were younger. They got caught at doing something, and he was really upset about it and looked like he was coming to repentance. And then I asked him the question, are you weeping because you got caught, or are you weeping because you felt the repentance? I'm not going to do this again. You know, I believe that's something we need to ask ourselves every time we get to that point where we're weeping and our hearts are broken and these things. We need to look and say, why am I weeping? Am I weeping because I got caught? Well, that's what the Bible says. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so, not weep, but reap. We need to look at the condition of what it is. And I believe the Lord is saying here that those that weep here, he said, blessed are they that weep now, for they shall laugh later. Which I kind of find it funny that he uses the word laugh there. I don't know. Let's look back in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And look at the portion of scripture. In this chapter 5, he talks about, as I said, he's got many more. And the other thing to look at as we're looking at chapter 5 here, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as we looked in Luke's gospel, you'll find out that when he says that, he says, blessed are ye, personal. You see that? It's not they. It's not a bunch of people. Here in the fifth chapter of Matthew, he's talking to the whole congregation. In the sixth chapter of Luke, he's talking to individuals. So he says, ye, that's a singular, talking about a person. And he says, he talks about the poor there. And then he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's a lot of things we mourn for, and that can fall into this weeping that he says here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, last part of 21. It says, blessed are ye that weep now. So he says, here he uses the word mourn, and he says because mourning brings about tears. He says, for they shall be comforted. You have comfort. Where here it says, uses the word laugh. That's kind of something along the lines of happiness. It comes from circumstances. Well, there's some people, I guess, that go around laughing all the time. Kind of a nervous laugh that I hear anyway. Laughter and happiness come from circumstances around us. When somebody says something funny, well, I laugh. One of those good belly laughs that we're, ha ha, that's really funny. As we're looking at these, there is some differences. And so he uses the word laugh there, which I think he's talking about the happenstance around him. Reasons why the person's weeping. Now, a lot of times people can weep for all kinds of reason. People can have done something, but they have a reason to weep. And it says, let's go on to the number verse 22. It says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast you your name as evil for the sons of man's sake. Now, this is a completely different one. You have here, he talks about the poor and the hungry. There are a lot of reasons people can be hungry, and that necessarily what it says about the hungry there, he says, blessed are ye that are hungry, and now ye shall be filled. It doesn't always happen. There's a lot of reason people are hungry. If a person here is a gambler and they lose all their money and they have nothing to eat, the family has nothing to eat, all these things happen. And if they don't repent of that, well, they're not going to be full. And if they don't stop it, they don't control it, you're not going to be full. And so there's reasons why these things happen. He mentions the poor, the hungry, and those that weep. The three conditional blessings here. And it's based upon their willing to repent and change in their lives, a life change, and these things that happen. Of course, and then the last one here in 22, the fourth, which is not a condition. This is not a condition. It tells us here that blessed are ye when men shall hate you. That's a hard thing. We usually always like to be liked. People like to have people like us. One of the greatest things as teenagers, issues and a lot of problems, is they want everybody to like them. Unfortunately, it's not going to be that way if we take a stand for the Lord. Because there's times that as a Christian, we have to make a decision on the things that we do, and attitudes and different things like that. Here it is. This is one of the blessings. This is a blessing of persecution. We don't like to be persecuted. It's not the thing we want to do, but it is earned. What he has told us here in this verse of scripture, all these things happen and we're blessed, bless ye when men shall hate you. That's a hard. Pretty hard saying. And it says, and when they shall separate you from their companies. Now, the Christians were going to find out pretty quick that they weren't going to be allowed in the synagogues anymore. They weren't going to be allowed to do things. They were being put out of their companies. And they were treated with reproach, looked down upon, and their names were cast out as evil. And he says, for the important part of this verse of scripture there is for the son of man's sake, for the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of the things we do. We have the wrong attitudes and we offend people in different ways. They're going to hate us anyway, you know, but because of Christ and for the cause of Christ is what he's talking about. And then he said, he tells us to rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. And we can look back and see what they did to the prophets. I was looking this morning at Jeremiah. Jeremiah, of course, he's known as a weeping prophet. But Jeremiah, every time he proclaimed what God said, and people hated him. Matter of fact, when he told the king to go ahead and go in battle because he's going to get killed and all these things, they put him in the dungeon for it. And he said, well, I'll stay there because you're not coming back. The king said, well, when I come back, I'll let you out. And he said, well, I might as well commit myself to it because you're not coming back. And he didn't. And he was killed in the battle. But Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Many of the prophets, when they proclaimed God's word, persecution came upon them. And I think the preacher mentioned today about, I guess when we were in the praying, about somebody that really didn't like their message yesterday and was really angry. We had a couple of people that he said were very receptive. But people can get angry because of when we give the word of God. But God tells us when that happens, we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice because we're doing exactly what God wants us to do, and giving out the gospel. So he tells us here, for your name, I said. We don't want to be hated because of the, we will not be hated because of living the normal Christian life. People kind of just put up with Christians as they are, you know. But if we're not making waves sometimes, if we're not willing to give the gospel message, I have a nephew, had a lot of problems and stuff, but every time I seen him, I gave him the gospel. I told him what he needed to do on his marital situation. And before he got his divorce and all these things, these are some of the things you need to do and to make reconciliation and try to do things right. And I always talk to him about his salvation, because I believe even today, if I went over to his house, he would not be very receptive to me. But when that happens, well, you still got to give them the gospel. You got to give them the gospel, even though it hurts. It hurts them, maybe in their hearts, but they need to realize that God is working in your life. So as the gospel goes out, it can be offensive to people. But we're not hated when we're just normal, lukewarm Christians. It's a fervent Christian, a person that'll be knocking on doors and telling people that they're lost and on the road to hell, need Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's simply what God wants them to do, is to come to repentance, to realize they're saved. When you get convicted of the sin, make sure that they're weeping for the right reason, not just because they got caught, but because they really have a heart conviction of being a sinful person. And so let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 for just a minute. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, I've written down here. Let's see what we got. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're going to live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. I know, thinking of Nathan getting married and moving to when I first got married, my wife and I, we lived in an apartment in South Wichita, and I'd gotten the apartment probably about a week before we actually got married, and really hadn't checked the neighborhood out or anything like that, which sometimes you need to do. You especially need to check with your neighbors. But I was over there yesterday and visited them too. So, but anyway, it was probably not the best place we should have moved. But anyway, I got the apartment pretty cheap. So that was the main thing at the time. We moved in, and we, of course, I would go to church. I go to church every Sunday as much as I can. I always had, after I accepted Christ as my Savior, my life was changed. And my wife was a Christian. I knew that's exactly what we'd do. So that's exactly what we did. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday nights, Tuesday on visitation day, Saturday on bus working day, and we were in church all the time. We had a rhythm, real good rhythm. Everybody knew Monday or Sunday mornings we weren't going to be there. Sunday night we weren't going to be there. Wednesday night we're not going to be there. Thursday or Tuesday nights we weren't going to be there. It'd be late, but I guess the neighbors had noticed that too. One night we came home on a Wednesday night. I remember opening the door. Actually, I didn't open the door. The screen door was locked, and I thought, that's unusual. Why is the screen door locked? And I couldn't get in the screen. I thought, when I walked over and looked in the window, you had an apartment there, and I could look through the window. It was a shotgun thing. You could look straight out the back door from one end of the house to the other like this. So I looked in the window, and the back door was open. And I asked my wife, did you leave the back door open? Completely dumb to what happened. Well, we finally got in, went about around the back, got in the house, and somebody had literally torn my wife had just baked me a chocolate cake sitting on the table when we left. It was on the wall. And they had taken everything I had. I had a nice Tenor accordion that I loved to play. And my amplifier, all that stuff, is all gone. Our cameras, everything in our house was literally moved out. But anyway, I kind of felt persecuted, you know? Because they knew exactly when we were going to be gone, what we were going to do. But I believe nothing's changed in the, 52 years that have been saved. I'm still out of the house at a certain time. At least my wife now, she gets to stay home, and she doesn't really want to stay home, but she's at home, and so I always remember, lock the doors when I leave. Lock them all, and she's safe in there, because the same thing can happen any time to it. But I was saying, we were living for Christ, we were living for the Lord, and these things happen. It's better if I live fervently for the Lord, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then persecution comes on me. That's all right. When I'm just living the normal Christian life and I get persecuted, that's not too good. But so the Bible tells us right here in Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, ye and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. People are going to know what you do and where you go and different things like that. And so those things happen. And I guess the moral of that story is you don't know what's going to happen when you go to church. But anyway, but here back in chapter 6 of Luke's gospel, the Bible tells us here in verse 23, he comes through this portion, and he says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did they their fathers unto the prophets. And as I said before, there's not one of the prophets that we can look at that were not persecuted, that they were the scribes, the Pharisees, people of the day, kings, all different people, did not like their message. And a lot of times people won't like our message, but it's still there to give. And it's important that we give out the gospel message. And then the next portion of this scripture goes into the woes. And these woes also are conditional. Again, he talks about the woe to be rich in the first one, and then the woe to be full. Sometimes riches can cause us problems, but our satisfaction. I think when we look at that word "full" in this, he's talking about the satisfaction we have in our life. He says, "When that's when it's full." He says, "For you shall be hungry." So he's kind of warning them, as I said last week, talking here to disciples mainly. But we're going to look back in Matthew's Gospels, and we'll see what he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees in that portion of Scripture. And then he says in verse 26, "Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you." You know, really what people, like I say, we really like to have people speak well to us. But why are they speaking well? It says, so did they to the fathers of the false prophets. So they spake well of the false prophets. But so the Lord's kind of asking us to look at those things. And so there's, like I say, these woes are conditional. They're conditional. It says in verse 24, he says, "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye shall receive your consolation." You're satisfied with your riches. You're satisfied with. Then he says, "Woe unto you that are full," as I said, "for ye shall hunger." There's time when they're going to lose all that. And then it says, "And woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." So he's telling us here that things are not always going to go the way it should. When we think everything's going great and everything, we need to look out. The riches, having riches is good. If we're using our riches in the right way, the right method, right, be willing to give and to do those things that God wants us to use our riches wisely, and helping the cause of the Lord and being full. Sometimes we can be full not only of overeating. It's a terrible feeling. I have it every once in a while, but it's not good for us to do that. And so we need to realize, and this goes on to say, it says, "For ye shall hunger." Hunger is the things that we're full of, and we have all of our needs. All of a sudden, one day, we're going to have none of those. It's kind of like having a great car and everything going good, and all of a sudden, you don't have it, or the engine goes out, a transmission goes out, all these problems, and all of a sudden, you're not full anymore. You don't have your car. You can't drive. All these things. So he says, and you will be hungry. He says, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn later, mourn and weep." And so that's where the laughter, mourning, and weeping went back to chapter 5 of in the book of Matthew, when he's talking about the Beatitudes. And as I said, he made this kind of personal here to his disciples. Those things that are going to happen to others are going to happen also to you as a Christian. And just beware that these things that happen. So we don't want to get hung up on all the riches we have. We don't want to be full of all of our needs met, that we don't have to supply them anymore. And we need to be aware of what people say about us. And so let's bow your heads in word of prayer and will to be dismissed this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that we serve a great God that loves us and cares for us. Lord, I know you take care of us, and Father, I pray that you just have your will and way as we've looked into these Beatitudes, we looked into these, your message for us today. I just pray that you'd have your will and way. Be with our pastor as he comes and brings a message this morning. I pray that you be uplifted and glorified, for we know, Lord, that you're God, and Lord, you're on the throne. Father, you're the one that that sees our needs and meets those needs. And Lord, we're so thankful that you do. We're thankful for the many blessings you have laid up for us every day. Lord, I just pray now that you be with us as we go into the service, as Pastor comes and he preaches. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be among us. Lord, touch our hearts, open our ears that we'd receive your word. But Lord, most of all, open our hearts that we'd receive your word. And Father, we just ask that you would be honored and glorified now. We ask in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.